You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. Counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture. One top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas. Andy and Gerald.
What's up, everyone?
Voila.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas.
Two Peas
on a podcast.
Wait, one, two. Got it. Okay.
That's accurate. Yeah, okay. It's Two Peas. You gotta do a head count.
I gotta get my fingers out.
Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald's here.
Andy is in La Casa.
Andy's in La Casa. You know, we're recording this in mid-October. So the Halloween decks are up, brother.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Already gave Andy some candy corn and stuff when he came over.
He's drinking out of a Halloween mug. I'm not drinking out of a Halloween mug.
What is it?
Gerald has one Halloween mug. It has Jack Skeleton on it. I'm drinking out of an orange mug.
I didn't want to give you a dirty one.
That's from Duck and
Sea. I have a Jason mug, but it's dirty.
It's orange.
Whatever. All right, so anyway.
But your decorations are like styling.
Yeah, my Halloween coffee mug might not be on point, but my...
The graveyard. I rolled up to the graveyard.
You did, brother.
Yeah.
So we got all that stuff out.
Man.
However, we've already done our Halloween discussions.
Oh, man.
So now, unfortunately, we've got to move past that season, and we are into November. And what are we discussing today? What's the top five
today, countdown? Today, Gerald, I believe we're talking about the top five sitcom characters.
Ding, 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 ding. Tell him what he's won, Johnny.
Top five sitcom characters. No, I don't watch a lot of sitcoms.
How did this list go for you, man? I mean, is this easy, or I got to look up some stuff?
At first, I thought it'd be difficult because I don't watch a lot of sitcoms, but then it was easy because I don't watch a lot of sitcoms. So I just, I had these very obvious characters that I love, and I'm like, oh, well, that's easy. I just choose those guys.
Yeah. I'm actually concerned a little bit.
Are you concerned?
For the discussion today.
About your life choices?
That as well, but we could talk about that off air. In fact, I need you. I will lay on the couch later and give you some thoughts that are going through my mind. It's going to be a dark time for you. just to be hearing it, you're going to be like, wow, I really need to call someone. So anyway, to get back to the episode first, I'm just kidding, folks. Don't call anyone. I'm good. Paramedics are showing up.
I've come to accept.
With a straitjacket.
I've come to accept.
Can we get this guy out of here? I've heard some things.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Wow. Okay, so as far as our discussion goes for today, I'm concerned because I don't know that you've seen...
anything.
I didn't want to say that. But in looking at my list, I feel like at least two of them, I don't think you watch these programs.
Okay.
I don't think.
I like it that you call them programs.
I know. What is this, 1984? who says that?
Programs.
You don't call programs?
I don't think you watch these programs.
Who calls them programs? Do you call magazines programs?
No.
My grandparents did that too.
A magazine is not a program. It's a magazine.
It's a program.
A program.
Wow.
You get programs like at weddings and like when you go to the dances, right?
Here's these are programs to me. Is that not accurate?
That's just
people
funny.
Call shows programs.
It's just funny.
Don't pull my cord out of here. You did that once and we had to do the whole recording over again.
So you don't think I've seen a lot of these programs?
Well, I don't know. What about you? Okay, so when you did your list, is this like, without giving any titles away or characters, is this a list for you that was like a little more modern, or is this like throwbacks? Like 80s throwbacks or modern or new?
No, these are all pretty modern. I'd say late 90s to current.
Okay. All right. I bet you fucking $100. I'm going to type it on my phone as a text to you.
You know all mine?
No. I know one of yours.
Of course you know one.
In fact, it might be your number one. I'm going to text it to you. Don't look at your phone.
Well, I mean,
and then I'm going to see if I was right.
If you've listened to me.
Can I do that? Will you keep your phone off until the episode's over?
Okay. If you listen to me on these top five lists, you will notice that I have a lot of reoccurring themes and shows. I don't watch a lot of stuff. I'm loyal to a certain number of programs, and I watch these programs on a regular basis.
Programs. There you go.
I program my life around them.
There you go.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think at least two of mine will be obvious to you. I think you could pick two of them.
Don't look at your phone.
I'm not looking at my phone.
I just text you where I think your number one is.
I don't look at my phone when I'm with you because I'm with you.
You're saying I'm rude.
I'm with you.
So, I just want you to look at it after, though, see if I was right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, all right, so for me... Let me tell you for me.
Okay.
So what I kind of got into trouble a little bit because My number one's a throwback. My number one is an 80s, and I think into the 90s,
actually.
Did I watch
sitcoms in the 80s? Yeah, I did.
I did with my parents. So nostalgia played into my list. But what I ended up doing, and what I really do with all of our top fives, Andy, is I try to pick my five favorites. So if I was sitting down on Netflix right now, and I was putting five sitcoms in a queue that I just wanted to binge or whatever, it would be literally these five sitcoms. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah,
and these are my favorite characters off of those sitcoms.
Yeah, I think I chose my five favorite sitcoms as well, probably. I think these are my five favorite for sure.
But what's interesting, and I want to ask you, and I guess we'll find out as we get into
situation
the list.
Situation comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for giving everyone the
definition. I know. I mean, people, we're using terms like programs, so I mean, people want to know what sitcoms are.
If we don't have any great grandmothers listening, they might not know what we're talking about.
Oh, it's a situation comedy. It's a comedy that's about situations. Hilarious.
But what's interesting is, like, I found myself, like, nostalgia was really playing a factor into a lot of the shows that my parents watched that I would kind of watch as a bystander.
Okay.
Like, they were watching, and I didn't really, quote unquote, care about it because I was a young kid. You know what I mean? I was watching, you know, cartoons or whatever.
Exactly.
But if they were watching a sitcom at 8 or 8:30 at night, then I would be there as a family because, you know, we didn't have DVRs. You didn't have, you know what I mean? We're talking 80s, bro.
Did my parents watch sitcoms? Like, growing up in the 80s, I mean, I remember Cheers. That was probably the first sitcom
don't give
I
away
remember.
Any
no, but I never watched Cheers. Oh, okay. I don't think my parents watched Cheers. I remember when Seinfeld came on, but they didn't watch that.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, I just so the couple of sitcom-ish shows I watched in the 80s, I didn't choose any of those. I guess they didn't stick. The characters themselves didn't stick in my head.
Right.
I have them as like an honorable mention, especially one of them.
And what? But and that's kind of what the trap I fell into is I was like, well, man, I really love these shows.
Yes.
For the nostalgia, like I remember my parents putting them on when I was a young kid, but only one of those characters ended up making my list. The other ones were like shows that I discovered,
not
through anyone else. Do you know what I mean? So these are shows
are the ones I discovered,
you know, without my parents' influence or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just like I enjoy them more, maybe because I feel like I discovered them.
Here's the question:
even though billions
we're gonna get into this even more, but here's the question: does the show create the character, or does the character make the show? Like for one of
that's a good one.
Like
that's a good discussion.
We're gonna talk about this later. My favorite show is not my number one character.
Okay,
because
same here.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like I love the show, but the character is different. So we'll talk about that later, but it's interesting, like, how the character, does the character stand out by itself? It's like, you are a great character, or is the show itself so good that it lifts the characters up?
All right, we'll see what happens.
I want to get into it.
We'll see what happens, so we're going
to
discuss
I can't wait to learn about your favorite program.
Our top five TV characters from situational comedies.
Okay.
Which is also referred to as a sitcom to the lapers. All right, so you ready, buddy?
I'm stoked, bro.
Five, four, three, two, one.
And here we go.
Who wants to go first?
I don't know. Let me go first this time. Is it my turn?
I'll allow it. I will allow it.
I will allow it. Are you the judge?
I'll allow you to go first. All right, so go ahead. What's your number five sitcom character?
Now, I said no throwbacks, but technically number five is both a throwback and a current. This is, you know, arguably one of the greatest shows of all time. It's still running. It's definitely the longest running show of all time.
Okay.
It has had such an influence on not only other cartoons and other other genres, but I mean, it becomes the defining. I mean, it's one of the defining sitcoms of our generation. We're talking about The Simpsons.
Who are you going with?
And I'm going with Homer Simpson. Now, growing up, Bart Simpson was my hero growing up.
Well, you wanted to be him, right?
Over the years, Homer became, I think, the guiding light of the show.
Okay.
I mean, he is the working class dad who goes to the bar. He's an idiot.
Dealing! How could you? Haven't you learned anything from that guy who gives those sermons at church? Captain, what's his name? We live in a society of laws. Why do you think I took you to all those Police Academy movies? For fun? Well, I didn't hear anybody laughing, did you?
Except at that guy who made sound effects.
Woo, woo. Hog, hog.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. Stay out of my booze.
He loves his family, but he also is annoyed by his family.
Sure.
And his constant antics and the way he talks and just everything about Homer Simpson is classic dad to me. I just love Homer. And he, over time, he has become my central guy of the show. Sure. I just love Homer.
You can say Marge too, but I mean, they're the foundation of the
show. Because Bart was the first star. You know, Lisa's the sister, Maggie with the... And of course, the great thing about The Simpsons is all the side characters. But honestly, sure, man. It's about Homer. I mean, you know, I could have guessed life.
That you were going to pick this one too. But can I tell you something?
You tell me something.
So now, about 4 or 5 years ago on Facebook, they did this thing where you were supposed to put up it as your profile picture. Okay. I can't remember what the occasion was, but it was a certain day or something.
Okay.
But you were supposed to put up your celebrity doppelganger.
That was, and I you did do Homer, look like Homer.
And I did Homer Simpson.
Oh, no.
All right.
I'm never going to look at you the same again. You have a beard.
And not only that, I'm kind of living his life, brother. You know what I mean? I'm pounding beers. I'm doing, my family's, you know, hates me.
Duff man.
I got a little baby sucking on a passy. You know, I mean, I'm everywhere. So.
Sector 7G. Was it Sector 7G of the power plant where you worked at? Sector 7G?
Yeah. Right. That's what it feels like.
Are you working for a Mr. Burns? Do you have a Mr. Burns in your life?
No comment. but you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's interesting that I didn't choose that one. Maybe this is a little too close to home for me.
Okay.
But Homer Simpson's a classic.
I almost chose.
What's that been, like 20 years?
Yeah, I almost chose. More than that. I think it's like 30
been
longer years. Than that? It's been like 30
wow.
something. Like
it's 30, been around for a minute.
Like a season like 34 or something.
It's been around for a minute.
Also, one of the great things about, I just want to give a shout out to The Simpsons. Their side characters are good. Sideshow Bob. You have who's the guy who drives the bus? Hank Azaria does the voice. Hey, Bart dude.
You're right.
Yes, Auto Man. Auto.
I'm not going to be the best person to recollect Simpsons characters, and I haven't watched it in so long.
That's the thing.
I used to watch
it. The Simpsons, I mean, Simpsons is a whole hotbed of great characters.
Yeah.
Once again, shout out to the great Hank Azaria, who does a lot of the voices. But Homer's one of my favorite characters.
I love.
He beat out another kind of dad like that, who's going to be my honorable mention.
No spoilers for future episodes, but we were talking about entertainers of the decade later, and I love Conan O'Brien. He's one of my favorite like comedians, late night people, and he
Conan's
was
cool,
a
man.
Writer on The Simpsons.
No, he
That's
was.
That's how he got his start.
That's
beautiful. And I found out because he did a little bit. He went back to the place where like he used to write or whatever on his show. And he did a little bit, and he went back and met a bunch of the writers from The Simpsons.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
wonderful.
I think him and, I want to say, also Stephen Colbert, too, wrote on The Simpsons. I think.
Well, I mean, think about it. It's been around so long.
But, I mean, the comedic geniuses.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's just so funny, man. It's such a satirical humor, too, you know?
I mean, if we were talking about top sitcoms of all time, beyond just my personal preference, not only top five, it'd be probably top 1, 2, or 3. Because, I mean, Simpsons is just great, man. It's part of our culture
in
the country.
Man.
That's my number 5.
I like it, brother.
Homer,
I don't have any...
Homer J. Simpson?
I don't know.
Homer something Simpson.
Beats the hell out of me. Okay. Homer, though, is a classic. I don't have any animated on my list.
I do.
But if I did, it'd have to be. It'd probably have to be Homer. To
I
be
might
honest.
Have another one.
Yeah, to be honest.
I can't help it.
Okay, well, that's fine. Okay, so my number 5
is
one of the two that I don't know that you've seen.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Maybe. It is a show that is fairly recent. I think it went off the air, I want to say like 2016, 2017.
Okay. Ooh, interesting.
So it's only 2 or 3 years old in terms of when it stopped.
Fascinating.
New episodes. I want to say it ran for about 8 seasons.
Okay, you're blowing my mind.
I love this show, man. It's on Netflix. You can binge it, which I actually have. It's just such a dry wit humor, very similar to a couple other shows I'm going to be talking about later on this list. But this was in the same vein and was kind of just like an extension of that dry kind of humor. There wasn't a live studio audience, so it felt very almost like a fly on the wall kind of like you were there with these characters. But the show is at my number 5 is Parks and Recreation.
Parks
Did
and
you watch
Rec.
It?
I've watched like 1 or 2 episodes.
So the character,
it's a little too dry for me. And odd for me.
I love that show.
Okay,
but the character that I'm naming in my number 5 is Ron Swanson.
This is a mistake. Why would you call it that on your menu?
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Just give me all the bacon and eggs you have. Wait. I worry what you just heard was, give me a lot of bacon and eggs. What I said was, give me all the bacon and eggs you have. Do you understand?
Ron Swanson. Who plays Ron Swanson?
Ron Swanson.
Which character is he? Because I'm trying to picture it.
So Nick Offerman is a comedian that plays Ron Swanson. So Ron Swanson's like this burly kind of
burly.
Like
that's a
lumberjack
better word.
Type dude who like hates technology, doesn't have a cell phone, has a cabin in the woods, like literally hates the government but works for the government. And he's
wonderful.
Working for the Parks Department. He's like basically the head of the Parks Department in this town in Pawnee, Indiana. Which is a fictional town in a small town in Indiana, but he's like working for them to bring down the government. Like his goal
wonderful.
Is to like sabotage
already.
The government from the inside. You know what I mean? So he doesn't pay taxes to this shit, and he's very like a very private person.
He works for the government but doesn't pay taxes.
Right,
that's wonderful.
Right, he like evades it, like eludes it. You know, like loopholes and stuff. But he's just one of those guys. Like, there's a scene in one episode, just to give you an idea of kind of who he is, where he goes he goes to this diner and he sits down, and his, you know, the waiter comes up and he goes, yes, son, bring me all the bacon and eggs you have. And the guy goes, okay, I'll be right back. And he stops him, he grabs him by the arm, he goes, I don't think you heard me. Bring me all the bacon and eggs that you have. He cuts away or whatever. Yeah. Comes back to the next scene and he's got like this pile of bacon in front of him. He's just eating it. But that's like his character, you know, very wonderful. Burly and manly and, you know.
Like you.
He starts
You're
out,
burly and manly.
I don't think so. He starts out kind of with a feud almost with Andy Polar's character, who's Leslie Knope, who's the other like main character on the show, who drives the narrative forward for 8 seasons. But they end up just kind of gaining a partnership and a friendship throughout. They're two completely different people. Like, he's a very conservative American, and she's very liberal. Mm-hmm. And they end up coming together, and they kind of both carry the show together throughout the 8 seasons. And there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of awesome sub-characters. I love Adam Scott. I love Rob Lowe
has a part on the show. I love Rob Lowe.
I would say give Parks and Rec another shot.
Okay, man.
We'll talk about some other shows that are very similar to me coming up, but I love that kind of humor where it's like not necessarily written to be funny, but it's just like you're watching it and you're like, well, this is like if you saw it out in public or at your work or something, you'd laugh at it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like those types of situations, you know. So anyway, Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation,
well done, friend,
is my number five. Okay. And I would say I'll send you some clips of Ron's best one-liners.
Okay, you send me some Ron.
He's got some good ones, man. All right, so we're over to you, buddy, for your number four.
You might not know this about me, or maybe you do know this about me based on my love of like Star Wars and comic book characters. But I'm a bit of a geek. Yeah, I'm a geek in wolf's clothing.
Are you sure?
But my brother, I grew up with my brother, my brother was always into comics. He's a computer programmer. You know, he's into sci-fi and all that stuff. So I grew up within that mentality, and I just it feels so natural to me. This show is very one-dimensional, meaning it's a caricature, and I love caricatures, we're going to talk about that more, of this type of dynamic and group. The show is Big Bang Theory, and my favorite character is Dr. Sheldon Cooper. Now, what I love about Sheldon Cooper is he's so extreme. This actor embodies this character, the way he walks, the way he talks, the way he looks. Now, he's this genius. He's like an astronaut. A theoretical physicist, I think. So he's a genius living with other geniuses, but he is such a genius that he cannot communicate with real life. He cannot relate to human beings.
So he's socially awkward.
He's so socially awkward. It makes for this brilliant show and this brilliant interaction with other people. At this one point, his roommate, Leonard, is dating, of course, the hot girl across the street. And Sheldon doesn't like the way this girl is acting. So he begins to train her like a dog. He has these chocolates and every time she does something he likes, he gives her a chocolate.
Okay.
And every time she does something she doesn't like, he does something different.
Yeah, I get it, right.
But it starts to work, and Leonard's like, well, it's working. He's like, yeah, of course. If you let me do negative feedback, it'll work even quicker. But Dr. Sheldon Cooper, we're going to get into this more. I love caricatures, meaning I love characters that cannot possibly exist in reality because they're so big.
Right.
But he just
Or does. You just don't have an opportunity to know him.
Maybe that, too. I love the show. The show is about nerddom, about geniuses. It's just a beautiful show.
I didn't watch it.
Dr. Sheldon's wonderful.
I didn't watch it. Yeah. My sister-in-law loves this show.
And the actor, I don't know the actor's name. He plays Dr. Sheldon, but he is just absolutely wonderful.
I don't know, I'm forgetting all these actors' names because I know all their names, but I know Sheldon. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Dude, he's wonderful.
But I never, I've seen episodes, but I never, which is ironic because I'm a geek too.
Yeah.
You are like, I'm a video game geek. Yeah. I do superhero.
Halo
like,
Knight.
Sci-fi. Yeah. Like, I love it. Why don't I watch this? Yeah.
It's a great show, man. It's a great show.
Is it still running?
I think it's almost ending or has just ended. I only watched 5 or 6 seasons.
Did you see they did a spinoff prequel of him when he was a kid?
Because it's not on any streaming devices, so I haven't seen 6, 7, and 8.
Okay.
But or 9. I don't know how long they've gone. But I love it. Dr. Sheldon Cooper is just wonderful.
So Sheldon from... Yeah. Big Bang Theory.
That's my man.
Cool, man. I need to watch more of those episodes. I just haven't seen it.
Hilarious.
All right, so my number four comes from one of my favorite shows of all time. In fact, it might be my number one sitcom of all time.
Uh-oh.
But the character is my number four.
Oh, here we go.
So
interesting. That's an interesting dynamic.
I want to talk about it a little bit, and I don't know if you're going to mention this character or this show on your list, but I know this is one that you have seen.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about it. But this is going to bring up that kind of debate that you mentioned at the top of the show where you said, does the character make the show or does the show
make the character?
Or does the character exist within the show?
Yeah.
For me, this character was what you would call a scene stealer.
Oh, I love a scene stealer.
So he's not the... crux of the show.
Okay.
You know, if he's not on an episode, which I'm sure there were probably a few episodes that he didn't appear in, the show's still funny. The story still advances.
But when he drops in.
But when he's there.
You can't help but stare at him. Everything he does.
Right. Exactly so in other words, it's not a character that exists throughout the course of the show just doing normal shit. It's a character that's there to like grab your attention and make you laugh.
And characters like that often don't grow throughout the show. Like the like you said, the crux of the show will be like the situations and characters that evolve over time.
Right, in relationships.
Oftentimes, these scene stealers or whatever don't grow. They just come in. They are who they are.
Exactly.
They're almost like this omniscient godlike.
You said
character.
It perfectly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He never changed. He was the same for, I think it ran for 10
I know exactly what you're talking
10
about.
10 years.
Yeah, I love
my number four is Kramer.
Yeah.
From Seinfeld.
The way he walks into a room, no one can just walk into a room.
Open the door to his neighbor. I mean, imagine it's your neighbor.
Yeah.
Just bursting in on you at all hours of the day and night.
Kramer's wonderful.
There's one scene where Jerry comes home from a comedic or a comedy tour or whatever, and he comes home and Kramer's in his bed, you know?
It's just wonderful.
It's like your neighbor, you know, just popping in on you literally at all times of the
day. Well done, friend.
But, I mean, Bright, he's a scene stealer. Yeah. I mean, he's literally there to be memorable, to make you laugh. It's hard. He did it. He did it. And one other person that I'm going to mention later, I feel like, did it as well. Yeah. But as a scene stealer, it's hard to be the comic relief in an already funny show.
Exactly. It's a show about a comedian.
You know what I mean?
Jerry Seinfeld is a comedian. He's here. And of course, the brilliance of Jerry Seinfeld is that he's such a great comedian. He allows and supports other people's comedy.
Right.
Like the show makes Kramer possible.
Right.
So I'm going to say that, and my number three is going to get to this as well. I'm going to say that Kramer is so funny because of the reality he exists within. Right. I don't think he could just pop out onto a stage and make you laugh. He might be able to. I think he did some kind of stand-up. But I think part of what makes Kramer so great is that the situation, is the show itself.
Sure.
I think the show lifted Kramer up.
Sure, and it's kind of like what you were saying with Sheldon a little bit, where it's like kind of such an outlandish character. You know, I know that it's a normal thing that people are friends with their neighbors and stuff like that, and you might hang out with each other at each other's place and like whatever,
but this is like, you know...
I mean, it's such a funny dynamic, and the show birthed their relationship. Yeah. Like, you saw that from the infancy stages when Jerry moved into the building and they get to know each other.
Okay.
And then over the course of time, it becomes a thing where Kramer just like basically lives with Jerry basically because he's, you know, popping in to get cereal or whatever, you know. So it's a really interesting dynamic. And he's obviously such a unique character.
Dude, he's wonderful.
I mean, the hairstyle, the clothing.
Yes.
Just so awkward in terms of like
the cigars, you know,
the conversations he has.
He's just so
many memorable.
He's just great.
Scenes, man. Yeah. And when they put the Kenny Rogers roasters across from his window, and it's like the glaring light. And that episode is when Jerry and him switch apartments, so Jerry starts acting like Kramer. Do you remember that episode?
I haven't watched a lot of Seinfeld, but I do remember that episode.
Jerry barges in with his hair sticking up, and he's like doing the thing like Kramer does on the entrance. And Kramer's like, "Jerry, are you okay? You look stressed." And he goes, "Oh, I'm stressed." It's like a perfect Kramer impression.
Wonderful.
You know? So Michael Richards as Kramer is my number
That's got to be an honorable mention for me. I don't love Seinfeld. The vibe doesn't... I mean, I can see why people like it.
Sure.
Like, it almost reminds me of The Office, where I can see why people like it, but it doesn't get me. But Michael Richardson is Kramer. That guy is absolutely hilarious. That character, that's his character. That's perfect for him. That is the thing he'll always be remembered for. It's just, he does a great job.
My wife hates Seinfeld. She won't watch it.
But she likes you.
With me. She likes, well, I don't know. That's tolerates. Subjective. I don't know. You ask her today, she might, but tomorrow she might not. I don't know. So Kramer's my number four. That leads us over to you for number three.
Number three is similar to your Kramer and Seinfeld thing. This is from my favorite show of all time. This character is absolutely hilarious. Also a scene stealer in the midst of an ensemble who each and every one of them are hilarious themselves. So to be a scene stealer in the midst of that ensemble is crazy. His character is wonderful, but I don't know. He's number three because I don't know if he could exist beyond the ensemble. It's such an ensemble-driven show. I'm talking about the show Friends, the greatest sitcom of all time, and the character Chandler Bing, played by Matthew Perry.
Right.
From the very beginning, the thing that makes Matthew Perry so freaking talented is his timing.
Yeah.
I have never seen another character or comedian within like this kind of context who has a better sense of timing than he does.
Okay.
I mean, just the way he talks, the way he delivers his lines, the way he enters a room, the way he reacts.
Sure.
It's big, it's over the top.
His one-liners are great.
Yes. And Chandler actually grows. He starts out as this kind of aloof. He's the son of a romance novel writer and a gay transvestite who runs a burlesque show in Vegas.
I'd forgotten about
that. He's the son of that. He's afraid of commitment, this kind of aloof character who falls in love with Monica, one of the main people, and it becomes their story.
Right.
They get married. Of course, Matthew Perry had a lot of problems during the show.
Were you more of a Monica and Chandler follower, or were you more into the Ross and Rachel thing?
Both, man. Ross and Rachel are the star-crossed lovers, meaning that they came together very early in the show. I mean, I think they were together by the second season, and they broke up by the third or fourth season.
They were on a break.
Yeah, they were on a break. So that, they became the lovers who just couldn't make it
who
work.
Who was right there, Ross or Rachel? Who they just, were on a break. Who was right?
That's a long conversation.
Who was right? Just give me one name.
Neither one of them.
Wow, they're both wrong.
They're both wrong.
Wow, that's a spiritual answer.
They're both wrong. Yeah, they're both wrong. So,
well, I knew you were going to name Chandler. I thought it was going to be your number one.
It almost made my number one. But the reason it drops to three is because I'm just not. I love the show and the ensemble. David Schwimmer, Lisa Kudrow, they're all Matt LeBlanc. They're all so talented.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that character can exist beyond the ensemble. Like, it's just, to me, Chandler being is a part of the six of them.
Sure.
So I cannot take him out of that and say, okay, how are you outside of that? Although, I mean, he's made some movies. I love The Whole Nine Yards with Bruce Willis.
Sure, yeah.
But Chandler being Matthew Perry as Chandler being, that's my number three.
Why would you even want to come, Ross? You're a horrible skier.
Oh, hitting me where it hurts, my ski skills.
Here we go again.
I can't handle this, guys.
You know, I can handle it. Handle's my middle name. Actually, it's the middle part of my first name.
Yeah, there are a lot of good characters that are all. I know, I love that show too. I'm not as into it now as I was when it ran.
Dude, I can still watch it over and over again.
You know what I mean?
I can whip out a random episode anytime.
Well, I've tried. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It just doesn't hold up for me, I guess.
I dig it.
I don't know. Sorry, man.
I dig it.
But I do love Chandler. He's hilarious.
Dude, Chandler's wonderful.
Chandler, and I love Ross's kind of awkwardness too.
Pivot.
You know, and then Jennifer Aniston, bro.
Well, I guess I better go to work. If I don't input those numbers, doesn't really matter. That's from the first episode. I mean, I'm still quoting that. Every time I go to work, I work at a restaurant. It's like, I got to get the restaurant. If I don't serve those burritos, doesn't really matter.
See you guys later. Yeah, I love that show. Jennifer Aniston's a smoke show, bro.
Dude,
can you believe she's 50, dude? Have you seen her lately?
I've seen her lately.
Bro.
Are you okay?
Actually, I need to take a break. I'm thinking about that. But
I've heard a rumor-ish video kind of thing about some kind of Friends Get Back Together thing, movie.
Well, she just got on Instagram. Yesterday. She just started an Instagram account and there were a bunch of Friends.
It's crazy.
Characters there.
It's crazy how much I don't care and how much people do.
People do, yeah.
But I mean, but that's just our society. I'm not judging it.
Jennifer Aniston,
we live in a social society.
I mean, there could be worse pictures to look at than Jennifer Aniston. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so.
Are you following Jennifer Aniston on Instagram?
Not yet. I just found out about it. Okay. But I might. My number three is a guy.
A guy. It's
that
a guy.
Is portraying himself on the show, his quirks, his idiosyncrasies, his just awkward behavior, his comedy, because he used to be a stand-up comic in his younger days.
Fascinating.
It's Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is an HBO show. Did you ever watch this?
Larry David.
This is the other one I thought you may not have watched.
Larry David was a writer for Seinfeld?
He created it.
He created Seinfeld.
He's the creator with Jerry.
Yes. I think you've told me about how much you like these guys.
Oh my God,
you know Larry David and his writers used to come into the CPK in Studio City.
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah. But, okay, so Curb Your Enthusiasm is literally Seinfeld with profanity.
Nice.
Like, it's literally, it's an HBO.
Yeah.
That's
your kind of thing.
Like, I don't even really have to explain it. That's literally the show.
Yeah.
So he plays himself, and he's a writer, and he's the creator of Seinfeld on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So everything's rooted in reality. There's one, I think it was season three or four, that the narrative of that season, the plot of that season, was they were doing a Seinfeld reunion, which wasn't really happening.
Yeah.
But George came back, Kramer, Elaine, and Jerry, they were all guests. Stars for that whole season, and it was him like writing the reunion show with Jerry.
That's cool, especially if you're a Seinfeld fan.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Brilliant. That's my favorite season because it was like a Seinfeld reunion for people that watched Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, it's kind of a lot easier for me if we could do it in Santa Monica. I mean, I came here today, so tomorrow maybe.
Yeah, it just, it kind of works a little better for me if you come here. It's a little easier. I can you know, I can focus on it a little better.
I got a very nice office. You'll be able to focus in on anything. I'll give you a very comfortable chair. I got blackboards up there. We can write it all out. You know, it'll be a breeze.
You know, it's not the office. I'm very low maintenance. It's just, you know, we're supposed to have a meeting, and then we're having a meeting. So let's start by doing what we set out to do. Let's accomplish that. Let's have a meeting here at my office.
We did attempt to have the meeting, and I did make the drive part. So the drive part... Yeah, that I did do.
The driving, so, you got
so
down
that
good.
That's a little out of balance now, because I did my drive. But
it's not out of balance, because, you know, you were driving and I was waiting. So, but the important thing is we didn't
meet. Well, the waiting,
there's
a lot to do while you're waiting. There's nothing to do while you're driving. Tomorrow, if you want to drive to my office, I'll be happy. You can keep me waiting for as long as you want.
I know, but we made a plan.
We set a plan.
We said, we'll meet at my office.
Right.
And we'll have a meeting.
Yes.
That's the plan. That hasn't been accomplished. Let's accomplish that. That's all.
But we attempted to have the meeting, but it was aborted.
We attempted and we failed. Let's have that meeting. Let's have that meeting.
We're having that meeting right now.
This is not a meeting about the show. This is a meeting about having a meeting.
I know, but the intention is the same. Don't you understand? I drove here with the same intention.
The driving is not the meeting,
Larry.
The driving is what we're talking about. You keep coming back to this insane thing with driving.
Yes.
Driving is not the issue. Did we make
it? I think driving is the issue.
We had a singular plan. We were going to have a meeting about the show.
Okay, so we're having a meeting.
You can drive around the world. We still haven't had a meeting.
So the humor is very similar. You know, he's a Jewish dude, a Jewish comedian, just much like Jerry Seinfeld is. And he lives in L.A. with his wife. They don't have any kids. He hates kids. And it's literally like rewatching Seinfeld 10 years later with updated jokes and different characters in there.
And profanity.
You know the guy that plays the dad in Goldberg's?
I'm forgetting his name. The old one. Wait, the grandpa or the dad?
Jeff Garland, the dad. Jeff Garland, the heavier set guy. He's his agent.
Moron!
Yeah, he's his agent on Curb Your Enthusiasm,
really?
Jeff Garland.
I love
He's hilarious.
Goldberg's in the show. is rising as one of my new favorites.
Yeah, I do like the Goldbergs.
Goldberg's cool. And Schooled, the spinoff.
You know, Larry David, I mean, I know you said you weren't like crazy about Seinfeld, but anybody that likes Seinfeld will like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, it's hilarious, bro. It's literally the same thing, just with nudity and profanity.
Oh, wonderful.
Like that's the best way I can describe it. But yeah, I mean, he created Seinfeld, so obviously we kind of have a familiarity with his humor.
Mm-hmm.
And he portrays himself on the show, and it's hilarious.
I've heard good things.
The first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, they stopped doing it, but the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, the shtick was, it was all improv.
Really?
So what Larry David would do, and the other writers would do, is they would create a scenario, but they wouldn't, in the script, they wouldn't put lines of dialogue.
Because they wanted it to be as real life as possible.
Yeah, so they would say, you know, Cheryl and Larry are in this room, they just went to a movie, and Cheryl didn't like the ending. Go. You know, and they like have a marriage discussion about why he liked it and she didn't. And it was just comedians.
Is she really his wife in real life?
No.
She's
based on his wife.
Okay.
But it was an actress. I can't remember her name either. But anyway, I know all these people's names.
You
I
know
forgetting.
These people.
But anyway, Cheryl is her character. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was all improv. So it was just like comedians. I mean, it was filmed like a sitcom.
Yeah.
But it was all comedians like just bouncing jokes off each other and just talking.
Oh,
you know?
Wonderful.
And then they started eventually writing it as a scripted show because it was so popular and they wanted to continue.
How many seasons?
Continue for,
maybe?
They're doing another one. I want to say 13.
What?
It's been around forever. Yeah.
Dude.
It started in the early 2000s.
Crazy.
And you know, on HBO, you have like 2 years between seasons. That's ridiculous.
True.
Try being a fan of Game of Thrones, bro. I had to wait forever to see her ride that dragon again. You know what I mean? All right.
Okay.
So my number three is Larry David as himself in Curb Your Enthusiasm, which we are up to our runner ups, guys.
My number two is hard. I mean, this is one of my favorite characters of all time on one of my favorite shows of all time. It's also a cartoon. This is the kid, maybe even the adult you always want to be, but you don't want to let anybody else know you want to be it. This is the kid who says everything that's on his mind, who doesn't give a shit about what anybody thinks, and is absolutely 100% narcissistically driven and absolutely hilarious. I'm talking about Eric Cartman from South Park. We've talked about South Park so many times. I love Trey Parker and Matt Stone. These guys are geniuses. The way South Park pushes the envelope, the way they use profanity, the way they use taboo situations to kind of push, and also to move into some insights.
Sure.
But Eric Cartman's the star of that show. He is absolutely hilarious. He has so many great lines, so many great moments. You know, I mean, he's always scheming. You know, he creates a church. He creates a Christian rock hard. Is one of the episodes he creates a Christian band. He's like, Eric, you know nothing about Christianity. I know enough to exploit it. And that's him. Like, he is. When it comes to making money, he always has a scheme. And Eric Cartman is just, I love him. He can't be more profane. He can't be more foul-mouthed. Exactly.
You know,
and he doesn't care about anything.
I thought you were going Bart Simpson when you were setting it up.
Yes, I mean, I have this thing when nothing's sacred, everything's sacred, and he doesn't care about anything.
Right.
Like, he'll say and do anything, and that to me has this brilliant quality to it. Yeah. I just love him. I mean, of course, he goes over the show and him go over the lines, so my lines all the time. Yeah. But I mean, it's beautiful.
Well, that's part of the humor. Exactly. It's like extreme, you know.
Yeah.
Is he your favorite character from
South Park? Yes. The Simpsons has so many great side characters.
I mean, Kenny's dad. Always like, was he like watching porn all the time?
Yeah, he's wonderful. Mr. Garrison's wonderful. PC Principal, who comes in to be the principal, is wonderful. Mr. Mackey, the therapist. One of the Randy Stan's father becomes one of the most popular characters.
I think that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Is he the one that watches porn secretly all the time? Or
no, he watches Cooking Channel secretly.
Okay.
There's this one episode where, you know, he's like, him and Sharon are him and his wife are on the couch, and Sharon's giving, I'm going to go to bed. Randy's like, yeah, I'm going to stay downstairs, have some me time. Sharon's like, don't you watch that no-no channel. He's like, I'm not staying up to do that. Gosh, Sharon. As soon as she walks up there, he sneaks, puts a blanket over him, and puts on the cooking show. That's what he watches. Nice. Like, oh, have you seen that? Then he stays up all night cooking and making a mess.
Nice.
But Randy,
nice.
I mean.
All right, so Eric Cartman, man. Eric Cartman. That's a good one. That's one.
He is everything Bart Simpson wanted to be.
Right, because he was on Fox and this was on Comedy Central.
Bart Simpson was the rebel who kind of lived by his own rules and whatever, but he was the PC rebel. Eric Cartman, there are no boundaries.
I would say Eric Cartman.
He lives within no boundaries.
I would say it's safe to say, or I'll ask you because you're a fan of both shows, I would say it's safe to say Eric Cartman was influenced by The Simpsons.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean there's actually an episode of South Park called The Simpsons Did It, based on the fact that Simpsons have done so many scenarios, everything's a riff on The Simpsons.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, of course they were inspired by the guys.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But I don't know, whether you're profane or not, I don't care. This idea of living life without boundaries.
Sure. And they created that character.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, he lives life without boundaries.
Sure. Yeah. You know? And he's a kid.
So
he's supposed to be innocent.
When they first started South Park, their goal was, let's create a show about kids the way kids really talk.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
The way kids really talk. Hey, dude. Hey, fat ass. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Just like the way kids really talk.
Sure. Yeah. No, I get it.
So, I mean, South Park, once again, brilliant. Love the guys. Trey Parker, Matt Stone. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Eric Cartman. Cartman,
love it. To respect his authority.
I'd respect his authority.
My number two is, again, I don't have any animation on my list, but I do love both of the ones you've named. So my number two is my second favorite sitcom, probably of all time.
Of all time.
I would say, if I was making that list, I would say probably. Okay. Definitely two or three. It's from The Office, and it's Dwight Schrute.
Okay.
Portrayed by Rainn Wilson. Did you watch The Office?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I find there are two types of people in the world: Friends fans and Office fans, and they.
I like them both. I think they rarely
overlap.
I was going to say
super fans.
I was
going to
say I definitely very much prefer The Office, but I do like them both.
Yeah.
But Dwight Schrute is very much in the same vein of Kramer. In fact, it's almost like they modeled the Dwight character after characters like Kramer, where they aren't necessarily a pivotal point in the narrative of the show, but they still every scene they're in.
Yeah.
And every scene they're in is so memorable from that week.
You have to be good to be a comic relief on a comedy.
Now, that's what I was saying about Kramer. And Dwight Schrute is what's cool. What makes it even funnier is that he is...
He's the guy with the glasses.
He is the farthest thing from funny. Like you know what I mean? Like, he's almost a joke himself. Like John Krasinski's character, Jim, on the Office, which is probably the most popular character from that show, aside from maybe Michael Scott, is, pranking him all the time. Playing jokes on him. There's this scene where he cooks his stapler into a Jell-O mold. So his stapler's inside the Jell-O, you know. There's a scene where he moves his desk into the bathroom, and then Dwight comes into work, and he's like, I can't find my desk. And Jim's like, okay, where's the last place you left it? And they go this whole thing, and he ends up finding it in the bathroom, you know, next to the urinals. But I mean, he's just like every month or so, because they did cold opens. which was cool by The Office too, and Parks and Rec picked up that tradition where they would do a 2 or 3 minute opening to the show before the credits come on, like at the very beginning, that have nothing to do with the episode. So they would just do like a little one-off prank or a little one-off conversation or phone call or something stupid, and then it would never go back to it the rest of the episode. So it's called a cold open because it's not attached to the rest of the
plot. I did not know that was a thing.
So The Office did that, Parks and Rec did that, and some of the best cold opens in the history of TV are Jim pulling pranks on Dwight. And Dwight is not a funny guy. He's an awkward dude. He is one of those guys that like thinks he knows everything. He has a quote unquote black belt in Taekwondo and like knows all these different like weird facts about like bears and you know
about bears.
Yeah, I mean he owns a beet farm with his like weird cousins and like it's just a he's a really weird character that like if you knew him in real life you wouldn't be laughing at him because he's just so strange. Yeah. But on the show, his awkwardness and the way the rest of the cast kind of embraces it is what's funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he's kind of like becomes the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
And you're kind of in on it.
As the viewer.
And what's cool about The Office, what they did with Dwight is he was such a fan favorite. I mean, obviously, he's my number two. But he's such a fan favorite. My daughter loves Dwight. You know, he's her favorite character from that show. And she loves The Office, man. She's seen it like 100 times. But what they did eventually is they were like, okay, let's make him a central character.
Yeah.
Because the first 4 or 5 years, he was just the butt of the joke and a scene stealer. But eventually, they made him a central character and they gave him a love interest. And that plays out in
the
last.
Did it work, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Angela, who also was kind of awkward, she was a cat lady. She's a crazy cat lady.
Oh, I love cat ladies.
And they come together and it's like a really, I'm not even trying to be funny. It's a beautiful love story as it starts to grow because it's two just so awkward people that are just so different from the rest of society, which of course, I mean, of course we're all different.
We're all different.
And they like come together and they get each other. And it's a really, it's a great romance on that show in the last few seasons. And Jim and Pam are what everybody's going to remember.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Office romance. Yeah. But I thought Dwight and Angela was really beautiful too. So
they get married?
They do. Yeah. They do on his beet farm.
Nice.
But I do love Dwight, man, portrayed by Rainn Wilson, one of the most memorable characters. And much like I told you earlier with Ron Swanson, I'll send you some clips because Dwight has a lot of really quick, like 1 minute clips that are just so you don't have to know anything about the show to just like get it. It's funny, you know. So I'll send you some of that stuff too. But
I can't wait.
That's my runner up, man. Dwight Schrute.
Well done.
From The Office.
Well done.
And we're up to our number one.
Check it out. Number one, this sitcom is it's in my mind. There's a battle going on. It's challenging Friends and rewatchability for my favorite sitcom of all time.
Okay.
99.9% of this show is absolutely perfect. It's well written. The way the story weaves in and out of each other, the characters are wonderful. It's absolutely laugh out loud hilarious, and I cry. The way the show ended was absolutely despicable. But it only that only
show.
That only occurs in the second half of the final episode. If you don't watch that and you watch the alternate ending, you're good. We're not going to get into that. I'm talking about How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. The character is Barney Stinson. Barney Stinson is everything I love about great characters. One, he is a caricature, meaning this guy can't really exist in real life. The way he runs plays on women, the playbook and everything, the way he lives his life, you know, the jobs he has, his past, everything is just bigger than life. Sure. So that's one thing. Two, physical comedy. I mean, Matthew Perry has great timing and great physical humor. You get the feeling that Neil Patrick Harris can do freaking anything. Yeah. The guy can dance, the guy can move, the guy... In one of the last episodes I watched, he was sick. And being sick and sneezing was hilarious. Every time he sneezed, I just broke out laughing. But I'm going to get into more of it. His arc. Mm-hmm. This guy is a one-dimensional womanizer who falls in love with one of the other characters and through that empties his heart and becomes this guy. I mean, basically, the whole show sells you on the fact that him and this girl just work somehow. And of course, in the last half of the last episode, they destroy that. But let's not talk about that.
Yeah,
so Barney Stinson, I mean, Neil Patrick Harris, his story is wonderful. Dude, Neil Patrick Harris is great. He's a child star who became a weird version of himself. Like, okay, you're the guy from Doogie Howser. But then, because he never took himself too seriously, he became like this
you
guy.
You know what reinvented him?
Harold and Kumar. Because he played himself.
Yep.
He was able to make fun of himself. And then he comes back on this show and you realize, oh my gosh, this guy is great.
And I saw his story. It's so funny that you bring him up because Neil Patrick Harris has like a show on Broadway right now.
Yes.
Hedwig and Angry Inch. And he was on the Today Show and they did like a expose on him and they interviewed him and he was talking about his career.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but when he did Harold and Kumar, he was from Doogie Howser fame, and he was kind of washed up. You know, nobody wanted to cast him.
He was Doogie Howser because he was a child star. Actor. Yeah, Doogie Howser.
And
he wasn't funny in Doogie Howser. He was Doogie Howser.
Right.
He's a child genius.
The creators, Cal Penn and the other writers for Harold and Kumar, which this was the first one in the series. They've done a few since. They said, we want Doogie Howser. We want the guy that played Doogie Howser. And we just want him to play himself.
Randomly.
We just want him to be...
And the,
we're going to talk shit about how he was Doogie Howser.
Beautiful thing about Neil Patrick Harris is he said yes and embraced it.
But here's what he said on that interview, which I thought was really, really cool. He said, look, I'll do it, but I want to basically be literally myself. Because he was going through being washed up. And he was going through not being able to detach himself as an actor from Doogie Howser. So he wanted to play that kind of tortured character in Harold and Kumar.
Honesty and the vulnerability. Right. I love you even more.
And I don't know if you remember the scenes in that movie, but he was just like an alcoholic and, you know, is fucking, I can't find work, you know, and like they're making fun of him. He's like, yeah, I'm a joke, you know, and he really felt like he was a joke at that point in his life.
But
and ever since then, His incline was going up.
Because he was able to make fun of himself.
Right.
And embrace, okay, that's what I was. And then he shows up on this show, How I Met Your Mother, and you realize, oh my gosh, Neil Patrick Harris is like he's one of the most talented guys ever.
Yeah, he's great.
And he plays this womanizer who runs these plays, but in moments you just fall in love with him.
Right.
Because he's just great and you root for him.
Yep, I love it.
Is written, the way that the stories weave in and out of themselves, it's definitely the best written show of all time, and it's starting to rival Friends as one of my favorite sitcoms.
I love it. I just hated the ending. The ending killed me.
At the end, two-part ending. There's a two-part ending.
I don't know if I know the other one.
It's a two-parter. At the end of the first part, stop it, go to the alternate ending, all they do is say, and that's how I met your mother. And that's it. Because they sell you on everything. They sell you on the mother. They sell you on Barney's love story. They sell you on everything. In the last half of the last episode, they destroy it all.
And then she told me about her life. She and Greg dated for a while and then split up. But here's the real kicker. Shannon's a mom. She has a little kid named Max. That's crazy. That could have been my kid. But instead, what do I have? My whole life, some money in the bank, some suits in my closet, and a string of one-night stands.
Hey, come on. I mean, just because her life went one way and yours went another, it doesn't make your life any worse.
My life rocks. Money, suits, and sex, these are tears of joy. I could be cooped up in some tiny apartment changing some brat's poopy diapers, but instead I'm out in the world being awesome 24/7, 365. Hey, let me dodge a bullet, big guy. Plus, here's the mini cherry on top of the regular cherry on top of the sundae of awesomeness that is my life. After Shannon and I talked, I nailed her.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry. Nope. Buy it. You're making it up. You're just trying to cover the fact that you actually had a profound moment of doubt about yourself and... Oh, my God.
Video's pretty good on this phone, huh?
Your phone on?
No, it just takes a while to power down.
Oh, gross. Just stop it.
Yeah, I just, you know, my memory's fading because I'm an old piece
of
shit.
You're
very
old.
But I just remember being just devastated, man. Yeah.
My wife and I sat on the couch just staring at the blank TV for like an hour.
I watched this for 8 years for that. Because I watched it in real time, How I Met Your Mother. Like, I would wait every week to watch it. It was back before Netflix when you could binge it. And I remember going, what?
Now, I think it's because they wrote the ending at the beginning, so they were going to it. But the problem is everything they did in between sold you on certain ideas, and you were convinced, and the wife has cancer, Barney and Robin don't make it,
Robin, that's it, I was going to say Rachel again, but yeah, Robin. So let me give you my number one.
Neil Patrick Harris, everything, I mean, Barney great Stinson. Actor, great character, great show, everything is great.
Love him. All right, so,
number one.
Barney Stinson, your number one, it's on my extended list, it's a great pick. Dude. My number one is my father. All right?
Tell me about it.
So, as going through my list here, none of my picks thus far would be influenced by nostalgia in any way.
Okay.
They're all fairly new after roughly the year 2000. I mean, Seinfeld was in the 90s, but I mean, it wasn't a conduit where I was introduced to it through my parents.
Yeah.
This one was, and not only was I introduced to this show by my parents when I was living in their house growing up in high school and whatever, but I felt like they were my parents. Like, they were very similar, and my household was very similar to this. So my number one, I'll go ahead and name it, and then we can talk about it, because I know it's a show you've seen. But it's Al Bundy.
Yes.
From Married with Children.
Him and Homer Simpson were vying for my number five.
He's like the real life.
He was vying for my number five. Simpson. Like, that's like, Al Bundy would be number six.
But my dad, you know, now Al Bundy was a shoe salesman. Dude. My dad was a construction worker.
Okay.
But that's literally the only difference. But like, he would come
collar,
home. Yeah, like he would come home and just like, you would get the sense he just fucking hated his life. You know what I mean? Just, like he loved his family, but it's just kind of like, do we have to wake up again tomorrow? Like, do we have to do, like, you would kind of get that vibe, but you knew he loved you.
Yeah.
But it was very similar, almost like funny, almost like it was like a caricature of itself.
Yeah.
The life that he was leading. So that's why I loved Al Bundy, because it just reminded me so much of my dad and some of the one-liners that Al Bundy would have. I mean, he was horrible to like overweight people, and he would just have so many just funny jokes, and just
Paul Kai, four touchdowns in one day.
Yeah, he just didn't care. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he, it was almost like he wanted somebody to like kill him or send him to prison.
Yeah.
Like, do what I'm going to say whatever I want, because I don't give a shit how you guys feel because I hate my life.
But
do you know what I mean?
Beneath that, there were these moments where you just got the sense that he absolutely loved his family.
Sure, yeah.
Because it, like, I can make fun of these guys.
Anything.
You can't mess with them.
Anything.
If anybody else messed with the Bundys, like, he was like down to fight.
I Care by Al Bundy. When Hooters jiggle around. And I find nickels on the ground, I care. When a Mustang engine purrs and the bathroom is not hers, I care. When the pitcher's on the mound and the wife is underground, I care. But when I've been playing this for days, I will kill anyone who stays, I swear!
If you really want to scare, check out his underwear. If you dare.
Anything for his family. You know, he's sitting on the couch next to Peg.
Can I get a Woe Bundy?
And Peg's like, I got the answer for you. I know what we need to do. And he's like, you have a gun? Yeah. He just wants to kill himself, you know?
Remember when he actually, because he loves using the bathroom. That's like his favorite time of the day.
Oh, yeah. Taking a shit,
He builds the perfect toilet in the garage. He builds himself. Right. He builds himself like a little toilet.
Right, I remember
that.
Yeah, sure.
He's got the old Dodge.
Oh, man.
The old Dodge.
So good,
10
dude.
More payments and it's mine.
It's like 20 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
Al Bundy is wonderful. He was like I said, he was vying with Homer Simpson from number five spot.
I love him, man.
He's great,
and
dude.
That's the one character quote or slash show on my list that's from a nostalgia perspective. Mm-hmm. I can rewatch Married with Children. I love it. It doesn't play as well in 2019 with PC and sensitivity and whatever, but I mean, in the 80s and 90s, I mean, I'm not even trying to be funny, but it's like, it was taboo. Like, I've heard of a lot of kids weren't able to watch it, you know,
Fox was a brand new channel. Yeah, that was their first big hit. And at the time, I mean, they were picketing against it at the time because it was real.
But that's the thing. And then you had Roseanne come later.
Yeah.
Like, those were real depictions. The humor was elevated, you know, because it's supposed to make you laugh.
You didn't have the upper middle class family who loves each other and everything's okay.
Right.
You have this lower middle class or lower class family who's like, dude, we're scraping to get by and we hate life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
But because we hate life together, it's okay.
Yeah, it's not Leave It to Beaver. Dude, you know what I mean?
Like, it's not Leave It to Beaver, homie.
It is what it is. Al Bundy is my number one.
Wonderful.
So that's. Can you give a wrap up your top five again?
I don't know if I remembered them. Okay, here we are.
I got it right here.
Okay, my number five, Homer Simpson from The Simpsons. My number four, Dr. Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. My number three, Chandler Bing from the show Friends. My number two, Eric Cartman from South Park. And my number one, Neil Patrick Harris playing Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother.
There you go. Good list, man. My number five was Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
What a great name. Ron Swanson.
My number four was Kramer from Seinfeld. My number three was Larry David as himself from Curb Your Enthusiasm. My number two was Dwight Schrute from the U.S. version of The Office. And my number one was Al Bundy. From Married with Children, portrayed by Ed O'Neill. I also love his character on Modern Family, by the way.
Oh, Modern Family is a great
another
episode.
Great, another
the dad,
great.
His daughter's husband would be on my...
Oh, Phil Dunphy.
Dude, yeah. Phil would be...
Let's talk about it then. So let's get into honorable mentions. You have any honorables over there, bud?
Phil Dunphy for sure. Al Bundy, definitely. You know, Bart Simpson. Zach Morris.
Sure.
That was my favorite, favorite show growing up. I love Zach Morris.
Sure, yeah.
I was also a big fan of Steve Urkel from Family Matters.
That's good.
He was my jam.
Sure.
Yeah, dude. I wonder if I can think of any more, but those are some of the top ones for me.
Well, I've got
Randy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, Randy's a good one.
Joey from Friends. Yeah, man, I could just go on and on.
Well, let me give you my five honorable mentions. Okay. I kept it to five.
So you're a little more orderly than I am. You got your life together.
I always do five because I just don't want to list 50 characters, you know. So my number six would have been Sophia from The Golden Girls. She was the elder. She was the mom.
Really?
Yeah, she was Dorothy's mom.
Really? You're a Golden Girls fan.
Oh, I love Golden Girls, man. She is hilarious.
I'm learning new things about you.
Almost my number five. My number seven would have been Michael Scott from The Office, we talked about. Portrayed by Steve Carell.
Beautiful.
My number eight would have been Leslie Knope, also from Parks and Rec.
Dude.
Amy Poehler's character.
Beautiful.
My number nine would have been George Costanza.
George Costanza.
From Seinfeld. Just.
Do you think she knows about shrinkage?
Talk about hating your life, you know. Yeah. Just hate.
You gotta remind me. Remember that
episode? Thanks, buddy. Yeah. You remember that episode where he does everything the opposite, and then chicks end up liking him? Like he's like, I'm just gonna be honest, because you know he's always trying to like trick them into he's an architect and like all this elaborate stuff.
And he works for the Yankees. I'm like,
well, this is before that.
Okay,
but this girl walks up to the bar and he goes, "Hi, I'm George Costanza. I'm 37 years old and I live with my parents. I'm currently unemployed." You know? And then they end up like dating, you know. She's like into it. So George Costanza is hilarious. And then my number 10, rounding out my top 10, would have been Lucille Bluth, who is the mother from Arrested Development.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
She's just drunk all day and just hates her family, you know, but she's getting through it.
Another great mom character, the mom from The Goldbergs.
Oh, yeah. That's probably Beverly Goldberg.
Beverly Goldberg. Yeah, Big Tasty from the Goldbergs, man. The gym teacher who goes into school, becoming one of the main characters of school. He's great, too.
I love how they cast, eventually, Goldberg from wrestling, from WWE. Did you see any of those? He's been on it recently as the brother of the coach. He plays the coach's brother.
Yes,
and
yes.
And it's actually Goldberg
from
wrestling.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. So we usually head over and open up the suggestion box, but before we do that,
I was almost ready. I was going to open the box.
Don't open the fucking box yet. I don't want anything to fly out. So I texted you.
You texted me earlier.
What I thought your number one was. You want to see if I was right?
Yes.
Which I wasn't.
Oh wait, hold on. Chandler Bing.
I was wrong.
You thought that was gonna be my number one.
I thought it was gonna be your number one because I knew that was your favorite show. Yes. And he's the best character on the show.
He's amazing. That was a good choice.
You know, open up the old suggestion box there, Andy.
Open the box. You gotta do the thing.
You gotta open it. Oh, what's in the box?
Sorry,
I cannot believe Brad Pitt has not done that sound drop for us yet.
Dude, all right, I need to put some WD-40 on the box, but then it won't sound good.
But because
then next time it'll be like this. Here's what it'll sound like next time.
That's it. Yeah, you don't do that. We need the fucking box open. All right, so, or we need them to know that the box is being opened. So the suggestion box is where we go on social media and see what fans of the show had to say. Mm-hmm. So we got some good ones. So over on Facebook, on our Facebook fan page.
Got it.
We got, Dan, who is actually a patron of the show. Love Dan.
Hey, Dan.
He's got Steve Carell, who is Michael Scott from The Office. I agree with him there. I don't watch BoJack Horseman. BoJack, do you watch that?
Never seen
it's a Netflix original show. It's an animated series.
Oh, okay.
And I think he's talking about BoJack, which is a horse that walks around amongst humans.
Interesting.
But it definitely intrigues me, but I don't know the character. He put up a GIF of it. Okay. So, whatever. You're going to like some of these, though. Actually, I'm kind of surprised by one of these. So, Colby Mack, who's a recent guest on the show. Love Colby.
Love Colby.
Here's his
I like
five.
Colby Mack, and I love Colby Jack.
And I like mac and cheese as well, which I don't think he's related to in any way, but I like that as awesome. So Colby's got, here's his five. Okay. Steve Urkel.
Hey, Steve Urkel.
We didn't mention Carlton Banks.
Carlton Banks.
From The Fresh Prince.
Oh, I can't believe Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was a great show. Dude, Carlton was awesome.
He's got Screech.
Screech.
Another scene stealer.
Yes.
From Saved by the Bell. Stewie, which is for Family Guy.
Got it. He likes the kind of the geeky sidekicks.
Yeah, and then I was really shocked by this one, but he's got Topanga. From Boy Meets World.
Ooh, Topanga.
Topanga, she was hot, bro. Yes. Now, when you were 12.
They got married.
When you were 12, she was hot.
Yes.
Am I right?
What about now?
Boy Meets World. Am I right? Dude, I was meeting World,
you can make,
bro.
You can make anything creepy. Boy Meets World.
I was definitely meeting World.
No, Topanga's wonderful.
In air quotes.
They bring it back. You know, my kids watched Girl Meets World, I think, the first season.
Oh, yeah. That, I saw World.
They brought it back. Topanga was married to the guy.
All right. And then Matt Lewinsky, who comments every week.
Matt.
Love this dude. I'm going to get him on the show soon. He wants to come on the show.
Dude, he's wonderful.
Here's his five. Okay. Two I've never heard of, but here we go. Two I've never heard of. So he's got Sheldon.
Sheldon.
So it matches up with the Sheldon Dr. Cooper. Sheldon. Then he's got Man Meat from Outsourced. I don't know that one.
No idea.
Do you know that?
I like Man Meat. Man Meat's delicious.
Well, that's easy. Kim Reese from A Different World. I haven't seen that show.
Hey, it's A Different World spinoff of The Cosby Show. R.I.P.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to be talking about him today, huh? Malcolm Butler from The Neighborhood and Dr. Percival from Scrubs.
Dr. Percival.
Yeah, that's his top five. He brought some rare gems
there.
Well
done.
Tony Vandenbush.
Vandenbush!
Over on Facebook, actually. Has got Dan and Casey from Sports Night.
Okay.
Rose from The Golden Girls.
Ah, nice.
Mike from Growing Pains.
Hey!
It was Kirk Cameron, I believe. Dude. Mike's character. Yeah. Kirk Cameron's character. Fish. Barney Miller. Barney Miller. I don't know.
Cricket.
I know the show Barney Miller. I don't know Fish. And then Fonzie from Happy Days.
Ah, Fonzie. Hey.
So Ashley, who does rabbit ears, and you've met her before, actually. She came to one of your talks.
She did. Ashley, yeah. How you doing, Ashley? So
you know Ashley.
I know. I mean, we go back.
So she does an actual television podcast.
Uh-oh. So she's a professional.
You're right. So she said it's impossible to answer.
Okay.
And I kind of probed her. I said, give me five you like. Give me some answers
give
here.
Five you know? Like. It doesn't have to be a top five. Give me five you like.
So when she answers, she said her answers today would be Captain Ray Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a new show that I like.
My brother loves that show.
Michael Scott, Ron Swanson, Nick from New Girl.
Got it.
New Girl, I like. You played by Jake Johnson.
Got it.
And then Troy and Abed from Community.
Interesting.
So well she kind of cheated because they're a she's team there, but whatever.
She's cheating.
Let's see. Uncle Jesse from Full House.
Oh, Uncle Jesse.
Our friend Lauren.
Dude, my kids love that show because they watched Fuller House when it came out on Netflix, and now they're going back on Hulu and watch Full House.
They get to see the origin.
Uncle Jesse.
So Lauren,
John Stamos still looks good.
Lauren Scott mentioned Uncle Jesse there.
Uncle Jesse.
Jesse and the Rippers.
Let's talk about Michael because we both know Michael Hill.
Michael.
So he's got Florence from the Jeffersons.
Nice.
Sophia from Golden Girls. I agree with him there. Wow. Chandler from Friends.
Ah, well done.
Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Nice. Hey, we matched up on 3 and 4. Exactly, 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, well done.
And then Jessica from Fresh Off the Boat, which I don't watch.
Okay, yeah.
That's the Asian sitcom, but I haven't watched that. Let's see. And then the last one I'll mention as far as feedback goes is our buddy Drew Hallam.
Okay.
Drew's going to be coming on with us in December to discuss our top five movies of the decade.
Of the decade?
Yeah. So wow, Drew's got his
Drew, home. That you better got be, your homework cut out for
he,
you.
Hopefully he started his homework there.
Okay.
But here's his five TV sitcom characters. Sophia from The Golden Girls.
Oh, people love Sophia.
She's great, man. Yeah. Jack from Will and Grace. Just Jack.
Okay, just Jack.
I'm surprised nobody mentioned him, but yes. That was a great, that was another
Will and Grace stealer. Used to come on After Friends.
After Friends, yeah. And then Steve Urkel, he's got.
Oh, I love Steve.
Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Wonderful.
And Frasier Crane.
Hey, Frasier.
But not from Cheers, from Frasier.
Yeah.
So well, okay, that was a
Frasier
great show.
Was so good.
You know who I would? You know who my favorite character in Frasier was? Was the brother. Dad?
No, the dad. Oh, the dad.
Like, you're talking about Niles. Niles was great too, but I love the dad. He was just in a recliner all day with his Jack Terrier.
Nice.
That was it. You know, he was the best. Beautiful. All right, now what I want to show you real quick.
You're gonna whoa, now, not on air.
Let me list these. So our buddy Chris from Gravity Beard did this thing because he was so passionate about this TV sitcom's characters because he couldn't narrow it down that he started a poll on our Facebook page.
Interesting.
And you know, he recommended us do a poll. And, like, I'm just going to read every character that people, because you could add to the poll.
Okay, got it.
So here's a list.
You're going to start with, like, the most popular?
Yep. I'm going to start at number one.
Okay.
So what got the most votes at number one was George Costanza.
George Costanza.
All right. And then I'm going to go down. There's, like, 20 of them here. So I'm just going to name them all.
Okay, do it.
And this is in order of popularity. Okay. So George Costanza, Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Chandler Bing.
Nice, Chandler.
Elaine Bennis.
Elaine, got it.
Dwight Schrute.
Mm-hmm.
Homer Simpson.
Hey.
Leslie Nope.
Okay.
Rose Nyland, which is from Golden Girls.
Got it.
Jim Halpert from The Office.
Well done.
Captain Ray Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Hey.
Reverend Jim. I don't know Reverend Jim, though.
Reverend Jim.
Steve Urkel.
Ah, Steve.
April Ludgate from Parks and Rec. Love her. Pam Beasley. Annie Edison.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know these. Britta Perry, Dean Pelton. I don't know.
Abed. This is getting odd.
Abed, which is from Community. Okay, I know that one. Monica Geller.
Oh, Monica Geller.
Jerry Seinfeld, nice. Selena Meyer, Tobias Funke, which is from Arrested Development.
Man, he's funky.
Michael Scott, Kramer, Peggy Bundy, and Carol Brady.
Well done.
So that's all.
Carol Brady got one.
Brady Bunch. So that's all the characters from TV sitcoms that got shout outs there.
Friends and Seinfeld are pretty popular around the town.
Yeah, I'd say from the characters are so memorable, man.
Dude,
so memorable.
I love
that. All right, Andy, that's it, man. Thank you, everyone. Close the box. Whoa, that sounded. There's a lot more bass. There's a lot more bass in the closing.
I have to lock it.
Why is it talking to you? I didn't know it was a magical box.
It's hard to do
it's
it every
Halloween time.
Time.
Maybe it came to life. I don't know. There it is. All right, so why don't you give us your final thought, man? That was our TV sitcom characters.
Every person's life is a sitcom. Look around your life at the people you hang out with the most. Think of them as characters. Think of them as people who define who you are. You know, we define ourselves by who we are in relationships with. So look at your life and be thankful for those around you. Be thankful for the characters who make your life enjoyable, who make your life dramatic, who give your life color, because every life is technically a sitcom. So be thankful for the closest people in your life, even if you're Gerald and it's just a cat.
I like what you did there, man. And I'm not trying. I'm not trying to be too funny, but like, live your life as a sitcom. Have fun. Yeah. Don't live your life as a crime drama where everything's like, you know.
Even if you're an Al Bundy.
But I mean, I have fun with it. You know, me and my wife joke around, and you know, I'm like, oh, these kids again. You know, but of course, I never give kids a crime. All right, so that's it. That's our TV sitcom characters. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
You got
deep. I know. I didn't mean to do that. I apologize. Make sure you guys check the show notes for all of our information, including our Patreon if you want to get early access or anything else. Andy, that's it, man.
Dude,
I love you. Until next time, which will be in about 10 minutes, we'll be discussing.
I'm so excited. I'm going to need a little more coffee. I want a Halloween cup.
Oh, I need to get double fist.
Not an orange duck cup. A Halloween cup.
Sorry, man.
Will you at least like get a magic marker and draw a pumpkin on it?
I'll get a Thanksgiving mug for you for next. I'll have a giant turkey. Will that help? Yes. Or like a gourd?
Will help.
A gourd.
I want to drink coffee from a not a ceramic gourd, an actual gourd.
Okay, I can make it happen. Do I have to like clean the insides out? Shit, that's a lot of work. But I'll see what I'm doing. All right, so next time you talk to us, guys, Andy will be drinking out of a gourd, and we'll be discussing something else. Until then, I'll see you soon, Andy.
I'll see you.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.